The Sons of Saturday podcast is brought to you by our friends at Main Street Pharmacy. Located right on Main Street in Blacksburg, Virginia, Main Street Pharmacy is proudly owned by a Hokie family and has been a partner of this podcast since 2020. MSP offers free delivery, curbside pickup, and vaccinations as well. If you are a student or resident in the Blacksburg area, you can always trust that at Main Street Pharmacy, you are not just a number, you are a neighbor. Everybody, it's Sunday, March 10th. It's 6:12. Pat and I are in the mountains. I got sunburned. I thought it would be ironic if I'd show up with some of this sunscreen, but I'm also using this platform as an opportunity to preach how important taking care of your body is. So if you're going to spend time in the sun, or if you're spending time with the suns, always be sure to take care of yourself appropriately. We also asked,
I gotta tell you this part. This is pretty funny. We don't have a car out here right now. We're in Park City. If anyone's around, hit us up. We'll be here for a few weeks. But we dial up the Instacart today. Gotta get, you know, the grass-fed ground beef in the fridge for the week, along with some other delicacies. And Billy Ray says, "Hey man, listen, can you add something to the order? Can you add some aloe vera?" I'm like, I'm looking at you. I'm like, yes, I will gladly do that. So the Instacart guy gives us this like huge bottle of like drinkable aloe vera supplement that you can't even rub on your face. So we're not really promoting this. I don't really know how that's relevant, but he looks really dumb.
Thanks. Oatmeal bath maybe in the future, but let's not keep him waiting any longer. So Hunter Couture, this is his fourth time on the show. I think that's a record. He's an ACC champion. He's an ACC tournament MVP. He's the all-time three-point maker in program history. Most games played in program history. All-time Hokie, all-time Hunter. Fun fact, Hunter Couture, did you know that you are 126th in career three-point percentage since 1992 and 1993, and you were eighth in the country in 2022 and 2023. That's a lot of slappies out there hoisting shots, and you're number 126.
I'll take it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take it.
How are you doing, Hunter? Good to see you.
Doing good, man. Living the dream. Excited to get down to DC and hopefully have another magical run.
So I gotta own up to two things that I did wrong. First and foremost, happened last night. Well, let's spin it back to last year. Last year, I actually made a Disney joke when trying to make it cool that you guys were going to Orlando. You're a Universal kid. I also had an Instagram post comparing you to looking like Drake Bell. Drake Bell, troubled past, had to delete that. So I did that too. And then last night, I also spelt your name wrong when saying that you were coming on the show. So we have a long...
I didn't even peep it.
Yeah, here's the thing, dude. Like, you have two T's and two O's. Like, talk about a high maintenance guy. I know.
That explains me a lot.
Yeah, maybe it should be Hunter Brooks. Maybe that's what you should do. It should be a little easier. Yeah,
we've had conversations about it. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that one.
Anyway, we're gonna kick it off with some haikus. We'll go back and forth here. So the first one, our guy Pete McGee submitted two because he saw the first tweet and then he saw the second tweet when I corrected your name, and he submitted both times. So the first one he had, Pete McGee, Orlando's finest Hokies have a heart for him. VT three-point king.
Pete McGee number two, unlimited range. He dunks with authority. What can he not do?
Can we double tap on that? There are a couple times where you get up there and you can dunk it and you do that little
drop in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so higher. Are you doing that as a joke? Because no. I know you can dunk. Okay.
The problem is I have dead legs, or I have abnormally small hands. I don't know if you can tell from the camera.
No problem here. No problem here.
So I have really small hands, so it's hard for me to grip the basketball sometimes. So that's why I always dunk with two hands, because I feel like if I dunk it with one, I'm either going to get hung on the rim or I'm going to miss. So I, 2 points is 2 points, regardless if it's a layup or a dunk. So I just try to make sure I get the bucket.
Team guy. Doesn't need the highlight, just wants the bucket.
Wait, that's a t-shirt. Get the bucket - Hunter Couture.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Thule. What's that big bucket company? Thule?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And last one we have BT Hokey. Hunter, the main man. From the arc, we are his fans. The Agent Zero. I actually want to double tap on this too. No disrespect. I hate the nickname Agent Zero. Like, we can do way better than that. We've been touting that.
I'm not the biggest fan for it. I always thought growing up, I thought Agent Zero was Gilbert Arenas. And that was just kind of grew up. That was the nickname. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if someone called me that and it kind of stuck in the program or whatever. And that's so people have been calling me that. I've never told people to call me that. But it's just kind of been there for a while now.
Well, you're going to be in the same locker room that Gilbert Arenas was in
I hope not.
And I know he got in trouble for doing things in that locker room. So, you know, be careful in that DC locker room. But we'll even zoom out and back up a little bit because no one's ever asked you, why do you wear number zero?
No reason, honestly. I wish I had a story.
He has zero reason. He has zero answer.
I was in high school and I wore – my freshman year, I wore number one. And then sophomore and junior year, I wore number 23. And then I guess they retired number 23 my senior year. So I had to switch. And there was no other number. My coach was like, how about zero? And I thought it was different. So I picked that. And then going to college, it was just kind of continued it. But no cool story or anything from it.
Well, I can say Jeff Allen wore zero at Virginia Tech. Jeff was pretty renowned in 2007, 2010, like that era. So you're in good company. Good ball players. You know, I think zero is batting 1,000 as far back as I can remember here. But so let's talk about the weekend here. You get the win against Notre Dame on senior day. And then you kind of look, you're like, wait a second, 14-2 at home. I mean, awesome home campaign, the best home campaign that you have had as a player at Virginia Tech. In your 5 years, Virginia Tech is 60-18 at Castle, which is pretty good. Virginia Tech's a tough play. You know, we know that. Saturday could have been your last day ever playing in front of Castle Coliseum. You know, we don't know. There's a lot of ball to play here over the next week. But you just described the kind of emotions that were flowing as you were being honored, you know, for that last time in front of the crowd.
Yeah, it was. There's a lot of emotions just thinking about kind of all the memories, all the games you play in there, and just kind of all the support and love you get from the fans playing there. And kind of, like you said, our record in there, it's a hard place to play. And when we play there, we feel like we're playing our best basketball. And it's such an advantage having that kind of atmosphere kind of as our sixth man. But I feel like the emotions really didn't hit me till the last kind of, you know how when we win – we go around the arena and we high-five the fans and stuff. I think that's when it really kind of hit me, like, this is kind of going to be my last one going around. So kind of just hugging people, high-fiving, signing autographs. It was really kind of just taking that all in. And that's when kind of the emotions kind of hit me of how special this five-year run has been and how special this place is to me.
This is not written down. It's just an observation. I have to credit you for your ability to be so professional and give such a good answer when I look like such a jackass. And it's going to happen like that for the rest of the interview, but
I'm used to you looking like a jackass, Billy.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Question for you, reflecting on your career here. What are some of the things non-accolade related that you are most proud of in your tenure at Virginia Tech?
Jeez. I would say just kind of being respected both on and off the court. I think you kind of go through when you go somewhere, you want to make your mark on the court, get all these awards, set these records, this and that. But I feel like, and I hope, kind of the mark I've left here is the person off the court just as much on the court, just kind of engaging with fans, being respectful on the community, things like that. Just being someone you can go up to and have a conversation with and not be scared. And also just kind of being a Hokie, you know, being out, be able to support other teams. I think the biggest thing I could say, like, I had no part of doing it, but just watching the girls team and what they built and kind of somewhat having just being engaged to Chloe and being with her family, just kind of seeing that whole thing built up. I think that was just super cool to see over the years of it really was when I first got here, my freshman year, there was no one in the stands. And now their last home game there for me to watch, we had College Game Day there. Like, that's crazy. I don't think people realize how special that is. And you don't take that stuff for granted. And so kind of seeing that stuff built up, which is super cool. And to have a relationship with those girls is pretty cool too.
I want to talk about your guy who's been there since inception. Not inception, maybe like 18 years after inception.
The word is, never mind.
What's the word?
The word is conception.
He's been there with you for a long time, recruited you to Wofford, got you to Virginia Tech. I was originally going to ask you to brag just about your relationship with Coach Young, but I'm actually going to take that a step further. There are lots of opinions out there on the internet. You know, you'll see me weighing in on, Burger King being the best burger in America, and people will disagree with me on that. Me saying that In-N-Out is overrated. I'm making this food related when it has nothing to do with it. But look, lots of silly opinions are floated around the internet. And quite frankly, when the going got tough this year in the middle of the season, the question came up sillily, in my opinion, on Coach Young's ability to coach basketball. So I want to ask you, as someone who has spent more time with Coach Young than anybody except maybe his kids and Miss Margaret, who we love, can you just tell us about your experience with Coach Young and his coaching ability and your relationship with him thus far?
Yeah. Those people don't know what they're talking about. Twitter is, it's a good space. It's entertainment. X. People have the freedom. X, that's what it's called now. People have the freedom to kind of say whatever they want, which is cool, I guess. But I think at the end of the day, no one's in the shoes that coaches are. No one's in the locker room like the players are. You don't understand what goes on behind the scenes. You don't know what's going on in school or at home and things like that. So it's, yes, that's his job to coach. And yes, we want to win every game. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And there's so many other factors that go out there that kind of can weigh one way or another. But I think the funny thing I see is when we start losing, when people are like, oh, fire Coach Young, this and that. And then we win a couple, like one or two games, and it's like the same people are flipping. And they were like, oh, I knew this team. I knew he could coach this and that. And they just don't pick a side. So it's like, if I had to give my opinion, I would just tell it stay on one side and voice your opinion on that. But when people start flipping back and forth, just whatever they think is relevant at the time. But he's, long story short, he's a hell of a coach. You know, he's won an ACC championship. He's the ACC coach of the year. You don't get that by luck. You don't get that just by random happenings. He works his ass off. He's always watching film up there, and he's just a great guy. And I think that's part of it too. Going through it it's two parts. You have to be a great coach and a great person to develop a program. And I think he does that well. Yes, we haven't won as many games as we'd like to, but at the same time, we've been in some pretty good positions. We've been to the NCAA tournament twice. We've won an ACC championship, which is the first ever in program history. So you kind of say that in a 5 years, and then you say, would you take that? I think a lot of people are going to take that from those 5 years. So at the end of the day, people are going to have their opinions. They're going to think their Twitter coaches, they think they know the game plan and what we should do better, because it's easiest to say from the outside looking in. But when you're in that war room and you got to make those kind of decisions and things like that, it's a lot different. So, I mean, I appreciate the support from everyone on Twitter. You know, you see it all the time as people tell you to stay off of social media. Everyone sees it. It's just this generation. You're always going to see stuff on X or on Instagram and what people have to say. My opinion, if I had to give to the fans and people, just try to stay positive. I mean, obviously we go through hard times. I know when I have a bad game, people know when they have a bad game. If it helps them feel better to go on there and scream at someone, a college kid, that they had a bad game and they need to do this better, or a coach needs to do this better, that's on them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't, they're trying to do their job and they're the ones making the big bucks. They got hired for a reason. So I think he's a hell of a coach. Whether they agree with that, that's on them. But at the end of the day, that they're the ones tweeting out and he's the one coaching. So,
dude, can he run for mayor in Blacksburg? You kidding me? Awesome. I'm not even going to weigh in on that. I think you covered it. Yeah. I think you covered everything. I want to ask you about Sean Padula. So you've been able to watch his career blossom over the years. He went 28-6 yesterday. In my opinion, I think he's one of the best guards in the ACC. I just want to ask you what you've seen from him over the years. What makes him a different player? How does he approach the game? Just want to kind of get your standpoint on it.
Yeah, I think his competitiveness kind of separates him from being good and being great. I think it just brings him over the edge. He competes every day, whether it's in a workout, a practice, in games. He's just one of the most competitive dudes I've been around, and he always wants to win. He always wants what's best. But I think he's made strides over these years, kind of just learning the game, kind of learning his kind of where he can fit himself in. Because I feel like he's so competitive that sometimes it can be too much. And I think that he's learned over the years kind of how he weighs it back and forth on when it's time to press the gas pedal and go, and when it's kind of to kind of lean back and go back in neutral a little bit. So I think he's learned to do that really well over the years, and he's having a great year. You've seen the numbers. He's had multiple 30-point games. He had 26 or 28 our last game. So he's really starting. He's taking care of the ball a lot better towards the end of the year right now. And I think that's helped our team go through this winning streak we're on right now. When he takes care of the ball and he's kind of running our offense and our motion and getting the ball moving, I think that's when we're really hard to guard.
So we were talking about DC. You guys are going up there here in a few days. First of all, you played hundreds of games for Virginia Tech. Have you played a game in Washington, DC yet?
I have never. Not as a Virginia Tech Hokie.
Yeah, so you were a Tech commit. Or I guess, no, you committed to Virginia Tech after Coach Young was hired in 2019. So, yeah. So no. Okay, so Virginia Tech hasn't played a game in Capital One Arena, you know, since the Sweet 16 in 2019. You know, you're speaking on Sean developing here. But going into the ACC tournament, what areas do you feel holistically as a team have improved the most over the last few weeks? And what are you looking forward to most in this trip to D.C.?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I think it's kind of been the main thing all year, is our consistency throughout the whole game. I think there'd be some games where we put together a good half, and then the second half or the other half wasn't as well, and that's when you kind of see the slip-ups when we lose a game. We'll go into the half tied or up two or three, and then in the second half we get away from our game plan or what we needed to do to win, and we end up losing by six or seven. So I think the biggest thing for us kind of going down the stretch, what we've been a lot better at, is just consistency over 40 minutes, just playing hard, sticking to the game plan, doing what we need to do. I feel like we have the talent to beat anybody in this league. I feel like we have the team to beat anybody in this league. And when we stick to our game plan and what we need to do and go out there and execute, I feel like we're hard to beat. And I think the biggest thing is to go out there and do that consistently for 40 minutes. And that's what's going to take to win an ACC tournament. Like when we made the run 2 years ago, we were connected. We whatever year we had, when we were going into that tournament, we felt the most connected we've ever been throughout the whole year. We felt like we were the best team in that tournament. We didn't care that we were the seventh seed. We were looking at the first opponent, and we were like, you got to just take it one game at a time. I think when you kind of look forward ahead and you're like, all right, we got to beat this team and then this team, and then hopefully – this team beats that team because we match up better, then there's too much stuff going on in your head and you kind of lose focus of what the real game plan is there. You kind of have to just look at it one game at a time. We have Florida State. We've played them twice already this year. So you kind of go into that game, and Coach Young told us in the locker room after we beat Notre Dame is the only way to win four games in a row is you got to win the first one. And so you kind of have to stay focused on that, win the first one, and then it goes by quick. You don't kind of get 2 days to prep after that. Once you win, you kind of move on to the next team. So it goes by quick. I'm excited. I don't know if I've ever been to DC before. So I think it'll be my first time. So I'm excited to kind of experience that. And I know we have a pretty good Virginia Tech fan base in that area. So I'll be excited to kind of see the support out there.
The time for talk about the town.
DC.
Well, no, Blacksburg.
Okay. I was like, well, yeah.
I used to live up in Arlington, Hunter, so I can give you some recs up there, but you know, you got no time for fun. You only got time for ball.
Do you do the we always give Georgia and Liz a bunch of junk because they're, you know, before their games, they're always getting like some spiced, you know, latte oat milk nonsense. Yeah. Do you have any like pregame festivities? Like, do you have any like wake up and, you know, read some poems, or what do you do when you wake up and you have a basketball game?
It's honestly nothing. I have a pretty good routine when it comes to like working out. Like, I always work out 2.5 hours before the game on the court. So other than that, I really don't, have anything special of whatever I eat or drink or anything like that. So no, I have nothing special.
Well, speaking of special, Blacksburg, it's a special town.
Dude, well done.
You've been there. You've been there for half a decade now. I mean, you probably know it inside and out, Hunter, but you know, COVID happened in the middle of your tenure at Virginia Tech. So that had to be interesting, but I want to ask, how has Blacksburg changed since you got to Virginia Tech? You know, you might have some new bars, some new restaurants, new places to do or places to go, things to do. I know whenever we go back, it seems like there's a new restaurant or something that we love disclosing. But if you could recall back to your freshman, sophomore year, how has it changed? And, you know, what are some new things that you like checking out?
Yeah, geez. I feel like I can't even remember back that far. For my freshman year.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it has, honestly. Yeah. I would say one thing, Blacksburg is growing, and I would like to see some more bars kind of down downtown, kind of Main Street area. Just kind of, I feel like a lot of times we have the, obviously you had Centro's grow since my freshman year, which is, I don't really go there.
Big Alejandro's, bro. They really, like, I know it was before your time. Big Al's was really the move. It was. Yeah. And so I just call it Big Alejandro's.
Okay. So, but that's the only thing. I wish there was more bars kind of spread out. So, like, certain places aren't as packed. And there's kind of different variety. I want a Jack Brown's in Blacksburg.
Yes.
Like, I hated all 5 years. And I was I'd never had it before. Chloe actually was the one to take me there and try it in Roanoke. And it was, I'm not a big burger fan. It's the best burger I've ever had. So I've been what they need to do is get rid of the Moe's right there on that corner and put a Jack Brown right there.
Wait, we're never going to add for Moe's.
I think it's time to campaign.
Like Moe's. Like, Moe's is fine. The real estate that they have though is crazy. Like, literally it should be anything else. I think actually, you know, they're, oh man, I almost went down a really slippery slope. But hey, we have some gatherings and some things that we do. Maybe we should just start gatherings in front of Moe's and just make them move.
We can.
I'm not encouraging that.
Yeah, no.
Don't clip this, but think about it. Yeah. Last time that we're going to venture back into serious world, and then we can get a little unserious. How do you wish to be remembered by Virginia Tech fans? When you look back at your career, like, you can't tell somebody how to remember you, but how do you feel like you've handled your career and how do you wish to be remembered?
I feel like I've handled my career in a very, like you were saying before, in a very professional way. I feel like I grew up and matured very early on in the basketball sense of kind of handling everything with professionalism, whether that's on the court, off the court. I kind of want people to remember you as I respected the game and kind of played it the right way and did things the right way. Didn't shortcut anything. Never asked for handouts or anything to be given from me. Kind of just worked my butt off to reach and accomplish everything that I did. And at the end of the day, I never wanted to kind of be the one to sugarcoat it. I've always been one to want to be coached hard. Whatever you had to say, whether it was supposed to break me down or whatever, keep it real with me because it's only going to make me better. And so I've never wanted someone to kind of sugarcoat stuff with me and things like that. So I would just say, I'd just be remembered as a person that respected the game on and off the court, respected the people in the community. And I feel like sometimes I was a little bit too professional. I wish I kind of let my personality show a little bit more because you guys see it. off the court when you're kind of like away from basketball. But I feel like on the court, I showed my professionalism a little bit too much. I wish I showed a little bit more personality and a little bit more, some more passion. So maybe I have a chance to, when we go down to DC, show some more passion and personality for you guys.
Hunter Couture after dark in DC.
Are you kidding me, dude? We're doing rapid fire next. I don't even know. Some of these might be repeats.
But I think we got to jump to this question first just because of how he just ended it.
Well, I actually had one. Let's do that one. But I do want to, you said you never ask for handouts. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone else has noticed. I would like you to ask for new shoes. Like the shoes that you're basketballing in look like they were thrown in the garbage disposal. Like is Bruce not giving you new shoes? What is the real problem here?
He does. I'm very particular on the shoes I wear. Once I find a pair that I like, I just wear those shoes. So I'm not very big into the whole, I'm wearing 8 pairs of shoes. We're wearing this color. I'm wearing these kind of shoes. I find a pair of shoes that I like. I kind of stick with it. They were beat down bad. So yeah,
They were down bad. What was the jump in?
I was going to say with rapid fire. I mean, Hunter was just talking about being professional on the court and not necessarily letting the personality shine through. And the question here is, you've played 4,309 minutes in your college basketball career. And how many technicals, Billy Ray?
Just one.
Only one. It almost matched your jersey number, but it's only one. What's the key to the temperament on the court? How do you keep your cool?
I feel like I definitely should have had some more, especially this year. to answer your question, I think it's just you kind of have going through the game. You never want to ruin an opportunity. And I always thought, like, if I got a technical here, could it spark a momentum for the other team for them to go on a run or something like that? You never want to be the reason why you spark something or something goes wrong. So I feel like it's a technical. Sometimes it's needed. If your team doesn't have energy and you need someone to kind of spark something for you guys to get going, maybe it's a good thing. But I always thought that you never want to shoot yourself in the foot. That's something you can control in a game, getting a technical, and you never want to kind of have that come back to bite you.
Actually, this is a great question that I just thought of, not to toot my own horn here, but I feel like Teddy Valentine gets a lot of hate. Everybody hates on Teddy. And I've watched a couple of times. It seems like you guys have a nice rapport. He's very nice to players. So, like, is Teddy Valentine misunderstood? What is your interactions with Teddy Valentine been like?
I like Teddy a lot, and I know he has people have their own opinions on him and stuff. But he's been good to me. And he used to play, and I forgot what game it was early in the year. And we were just coming out of halftime, and I think I didn't shoot well in the first half. And it was at home, and he came to me. I was like just standing there. He told me, he's like, keep shooting. He was like, you're too good of a shooter to drop your head, blah, blah, blah. He was like, I used to play this and that. He was like, you're a great shooter. Just keep shooting. And it threw me off guard because he didn't have to say that. He could have went with on along his day and not even spoke to me. But for him to kind of go out of his way and say that to me just spoke to who he is as a person and how much he cares about the game of basketball, you know, as a ref. And he said he used to play as a player, and to kind of say that it meant a lot.
What an awesome story.
Yeah.
Also, Teddy Valentine, what are his initials? TV. What is TV backwards? VT. So maybe a hidden fan. Who knows? Don't know. We've definitely asked you this before, but I just simply can't go through this exercise without asking. You're going to dinner with 4 people, dead or alive. Who's going? And where are you going?
This is the question y'all asked me a couple years ago. And
yeah, you took 20 minutes to answer it.
I did, and I got some heat for my answers, or one of my answers. 4 people that are alive, I'm going to dinner. All right, let's mix it up this time. I'm going to go with – I'm trying to say people that wouldn't get me canceled now. You got to feel like it's got to be – I'm going to go Tiger Woods.
Okay.
That
might get you. He's in a little trouble.
Yeah, that's fine. No, yeah. Tiger's fine.
Okay, if you get canceled for Tiger Woods, then I don't want to be here anymore.
Okay, yeah. So I'll go Tiger Woods. I will go with Barack Obama.
Okay. I was about to check my watch, see how long we're going to be here for.
I'm trying to get a good variety. Who would I want to be at dinner with? I need someone. Oh, New one. Who's the Shane?
Get of all the people that could get you canceled, he might be number one.
No,
he's funny. He's so funny.
He beat the allegations.
He did beat the allegations.
I would do him, and then last one.
Who's that guy, Shane?
Sydney Sweeney.
No, dude, you trying to get him in trouble again?
We'll crop that out.
We could put Sydney Sweeney there. She, boom.
Dude, you are literally asking. You are asking for a whooping if you put Sydney Sweeney on this list.
So I didn't know who she was, and Chloe actually went to one of her newest movies and saw her movie, and she came back, and she was talking more about her than she was like, yeah, like she was fangirling over her, and so. Okay.
Then that's fair.
There we go.
Yeah. So it would be like a selfless act for you to be like, yo, hey, I went to dinner with Sydney Sweeney and Barack Obama and Tiger Woods and Shane Gillis. Just heads up. And I made Sydney pay. Sydney can pay for that. Who are some of the most impactful non-sports related people at Virginia Tech that you have come across?
Most impactful. Oh, you guys.
Wow, what an awesome answer. I did play sports. Pat is an athlete. He's a skier, but we do appreciate it. Yeah. That is very nice, Hunter. That was good. How have we impacted you?
Y'all have impacted me. I would say there's when you get and kind of you grow up, you kind of see people, you can kind of see people's true colors and kind of where they come from and things like that. You can see the ones that are kind of doing it for clout. You can see the ones that are kind of doing it just to kind of be in ties with people and stuff like that, just to say, oh, hey, like, I'm cool with this person. I think you guys genuinely do it the right way. I think you guys don't do it for the clout, or you don't do it to kind of say, oh, we're close with these athletes just to kind of seem cool. I think you guys genuinely want to see Virginia Tech athletes succeed on and off the court or field or whatever it is. So I think you guys really push for that. And I think at the end of the day, you put the student athletes first rather than yourselves. And I think that's the main thing as a person and ambassadors of the school and of the sports programs is you kind of put whoever is there in the moment, you put them first and you want to see them shine the brightest. And so I feel like you guys do a good job with that.
Damn. Well, Hunter, this interview was great. I really appreciate it. We're going to end it right there. No, I appreciate it, man. That's really nice. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Next question I have for you. What is the soundtrack to your life?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like that?
Soundtrack to my life.
Well, you could even pick five. So, I mean, you've been here since, like, you know, pre-puberty. So you could pick, like, five songs.
And I just listened to the song the other day because my two nephews were here and they're big Lightning McQueen fans. So I would say Life is a Highway.
Wow.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, that's not a Hunter Couture After Dark answer though. That's like a Mr. Professional answer right there.
Life is a highway in the locker room. That's okay.
The flat rascal.
I mean, this one's fun. This might be my favorite question.
All right, so it's 2022. Friday night, Saturday night, you beat Roy Friday night, you beat Coach K Saturday night. Who is nicer to you after you sent them packing home from the Barclays Center?
Yeah, before we aggregate this, before somebody aggregates this, I don't want to speak for Hunter, but I love Coach Williams and I love Coach K. I think they're both extremely professional. We're just asking, comparing the two in that moment. Yeah. And both of them were probably a little upset because they just got Hunter bored. But who was nicer?
So to answer the question, well, first, I'd never beat Coach Williams. I did beat – Coach Williams wasn't the coach.
It was Coach Herbie that year.
It was Hubert Davis was the coach.
Hubie Herbert.
Yeah.
We screwed up the question.
We did.
We totally screwed the coach.
So, okay. So let's back up. Who was nicer?
So same question. I got you.
Coach Davis or Coach K?
Well, so on that same weekend, he also beat Coach Bray as well. So he did beat him.
And Coach Brownell.
And Coach Brownell.
So I would say, to give some backstory, I would have to say Coach K was nicer in the sense because I did get a flagrant one in the UNC game. It was a fast break. RJ Davis had it, and I went to go dead the ball and foul him before he got a shot up. And he was so – he's small and quick. When I went to go foul him, I kind of took his head off a little bit, and he was a little frustrated. Obviously, they were down, I think, double digits, and I think part of it was he was mad that they were losing, also trying to spark some energy into the team. So he wasn't very happy about that. There was no bad intentions from me or from him. Coach K, I can't – when we won that game, I blacked out. So when I was going through – I saw the confetti come down. My first thought was, all right, let me go through the line, just shake hands, get that over with so we can go celebrate. And I kind of blacked out. And I kind of like – he seemed like he was just kind of – I don't think he said anything. It was more of like good game, this and that. So both of them were respectful coaches, have the most respect for them. But I'd have to say, just from the backstory of me getting the flagrant one in the UNC game, Coach K was probably a little bit nicer.
I mean, I can't tell you how unprofessional we were that entire weekend. You were in Frisco, Colorado, and I think we had a conglomerate of like 15 Virginia Tech fans at this bar that had no idea that we were going to show up. I mean, we were buying green tea shots for everybody in the bar. People got mad at us for chanting. And I was just like, send that table 15 green tea shots. And then they were all rooting for us by the end of the game. It was great. It was a ton of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. A ton of fun. Friday night, Ollie's in Frisco. Saturday night, Ollie's in Breckenridge. Some serious juice.
So, you know, you're kind of on the back nine of the Virginia Tech career here. You're kind of the senior citizen.
Back nine. He's on 18, bro.
I was going to say, I'm playing 36 holes at this point.
You're putting for birdie on 18 right now. In this hashtag senior citizen era, what are some of the new remedies that you've picked up over the last year plus? You know, is it Ben Gay? Is it Icy Hot? Maybe some Aleve? You know, you waking up in the morning with some lower back pain. You know, yes. What do we got going on here?
Yeah, it comes with just playing just for a while. There's some days where you kind of just wake up and your body hurts and it's random. You don't know why. But then later in the day, it feels better. Or the next day, it feels better. But at the end of the day, I love to say, like, I'm old. I played a lot. I'm still 23 years old. So I'm still – I'm young and in people years, so it's I've played a lot of games.
People years.
I meant like people years, comparing it to like athlete years.
Dog years. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. It has been. You know, you play a lot of games, a lot of minutes. Your body does take a toll. But it's still blessed to kind of still be healthy enough to be out there and play. So you can never want to take that for granted.
So. What is your favorite road or neutral site win of your career?
Brooklyn.
Easy. All right. Okay. Neutral regular season game.
Ask a better question.
Yeah. What is your favorite road or neutral site win in the regular season?
I have to say one of the Orlando wins this year, going back home. Beating Boise State or Iowa State, two good teams that both will be in the NCAA tournament.
Quad one wins.
Yeah. And so I'd say one of those, just because being back home, Boise State, I think it was the Boise State game. I broke the record. So kind of just being able to be back home in front of friends and family and get a win against a big time team was pretty cool.
Pat and I talk about this all the time. And when you graduate, it's usually like when you walk into Sharky's and you get on your tippy toes and you recognize zero people. And you're just like, wow. I actually went to Sharky's to meet up with Carter Atherton, and I called him like six times in a row. I'm like, you need to come find me right now because I look like an idiot in here. Nobody knows. I just look like a weirdo.
What are you wearing?
I had a mustache.
I was going to say, were you wearing tie-dye? Had sunscreen on your face?
I look like I just left Montgomery County Jail, and this is the first place that I wanted to go. So has there been any moments – man, this is off the rails. Have there been any moments in the last year where you may have thought, wow, I feel really old right now? Could be physically, could be just being around. Like, have there been any moments where you're like, wow, dude, I feel old?
I have to say, in the locker room this year, before games, some of the guys will be blasting Young Boy or something like that. Or It's like, I feel like as soon when you get a little bit older, your music taste, it starts to slow down a little bit. I still do enjoy rap and those kind of songs, but you kind of, you move over to kind of more of like a hip hop, pop, country type of vibe.
Country vibe. Here we go.
Whoa.
I've never been a country person in my life. Obviously coming to Virginia, you get thrown in the fire. You have no choice to accept it. So I think that's when I realized, I was like, all right, I'm getting a little bit older. It's just kind of in the locker room when they're playing some music, and it's just kind of too much.
So what is your favorite non-basketball memory from your time at Virginia Tech?
Favorite non-basketball memory. A great question, Pat. You come up with that?
I think it was actually a Billy one, and I we changed the highlight color. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a good one, because obviously you could say graduating is a cool memory. I guess favorite non-basketball memory, I would say the game after COVID for football was pretty cool.
Do you mean when Virginia Tech beat UNC and COVID in the same night? Is that the game that you're referring to? Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would say that was a pretty cool memory. I guess it's non-basketball related, so that works.
Yeah. Well, let's make it a little harder. What about non-athletics related?
Non-athletics. Favorite memory. Oh, I got me proposing to Chloe in the back of Han.
Wonderful.
Let's go.
Very, very well done. Yeah. I have to ask you, because there's some Zapruder film floating around there. We talked about this before.
What is Zapruder?
Dude, when JFK got shot, there's only one video of it. It's called the Zapruder film. We were just going to leave it at that. But
I didn't know that.
That's what it is.
I learned something today.
Yeah, you did. You did. So there's some Zapruder film out there. And as you know, Southwest Virginia, it's dewy, like the ground is naturally wet, and you were wearing some swaggy pants. And you know, you didn't want to stain the pants. So I'm curious, like, was there a full knee situation going on? Were you hovering? Like, where were we with that?
This is real. Yeah. We're really peeling back the layers of this onion here.
I know. Like, it
was full knee. Okay. It was quick, you know, the knees start hurting when you get a little bit older. So it was a quick kind of put the knee down, please say yes, quick. So there is a picture with my knee up, and that's where all the speculation comes from.
Yeah.
And that the problem is Chloe liked that picture the best. And I liked the one with my knee down. And I told her, I was like, people are going to think it's a fake if my knee's not down. And so, but yeah, then it was full knee.
So thank you for clearing that up.
Hey guys, this is Ali Jennings III, wide receiver for your Virginia Tech Hokies. When I committed to Virginia Tech football, I committed to the best. That's why I chose Harvey's GM in Radford. Why settle for less when you can have the best? Go to Harvey's GM for all of your vehicle needs. Tell them Ali sent you. That's Harvey's GM, Tyler Ave in Radford, or go to their website at harveysgm.com for more info.
Letters from Lunch Pail, last segment here. So first question comes from Liz Kitley. She wants to know, how do you cope knowing that Chloe is so much cooler than you are?
It's hard, actually. You know, people think I'm cool around here and famous and this and that. She gets probably just as many pictures and autographs too when we're downtown and stuff. And I don't think she realizes it, but she's pretty funny thing is, kind of related to Chloe or not. Me and Coach Brooks have a fun game kind of when we go out to places, whether we're at a football game or we're going out to dinner somewhere and someone will recognize one of us. We usually shout the other person's name so they go to them too, so they get more of the attention than the other person. So we kind of pinball back and forth if we're out somewhere. He does it more than me. Someone will be like, oh, like, are you Coach Brooks? Is that? He'll be like, yeah, but did you see Hunter over there? And so then they all start going over there too. So it's a fun game.
So obviously, Pat and I are not engaged to Chloe. You are engaged to Chloe, yes, but I know she's listening to this. And I just want to say that Chloe is too cool to follow the Sons of Saturday. Now, she has a very nice round number of 444 following. I did just confirm it. Okay. So Chloe, secret's out. You're missing some great content. That's all I have to say about that. When someone, PSA. If you're not following the Sons of Saturday and you are a Virginia Tech fan, missing out on some good content. So, you know, just putting that out there. Rich Luttenberger, he has a question for Hunter. We're goofing around on this. Like, anytime that this question is posed in this verbiage, it's just funny. It's the fifth grader in me. But it's a legitimate question. Question for Couture: will he join my threesome at the For Those to Come golf tournament outing? We will cover your costs.
April 12th, Friday, April 12th in the morning at the River Course.
Free golf.
I should be here.
I don't know where else you would be.
I don't either. I don't know where I'm going to be after this season.
And training for basketball for next season for Virginia Tech doesn't start for a few months, Hunter. So you have some time to just hang out.
I'll take him up on that. I got to figure out who sent it. Whenever I could play golf for free, it's going to be hard to say no to that. So I would definitely be down if I'm available.
Rich is going to be so fired up. Rich is literally listening to this right now and being like, yes, here we go. We'll tee it up. Great. Great. What is that? It's not an acronym. Tee it up. What is that?
It's a,
alliteration.
A pun.
Good pun. Fun pun.
Pat. Sorry, I was ready to read the next question. Yeah. James Hughes says, favorite castle tradition that isn't Sandman
and beating opponents regularly.
The bacon, the free throw.
Oh yeah.
I still have that in my wallet. So I tell you what, Smithfield, there's no better multimedia rights deal in the country than Smithfield bacon.
Yeah, you want to talk about some good ROI. I mean, I don't think of bacon without thinking of Smithfield. No. So that's what we call affinity.
Yes.
Gates Dunham says, favorite win in Castle in your career?
Wow. Shoot, the Virginia one this past year was...
Oh, when you beat them by 80? Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. Trying to think of like that has to be up. Anytime you beat Virginia at home, it hits a little bit different. So I'd say any of those games, honestly.
I gotta say, like, I think in this final iteration of your career, I challenge you to come up with a. Look, I'm not coming at your swag. I think you're one of the swaggier basketball players in the ACC. But anytime anything big happens, you do the same thing. You love doing this.
The flex, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, you do love that. And I think the most animated I've ever seen you do it was after the Duke game last year in the black uniform. Yeah. You were fired up at the end of that
after game. After the steal, yeah. That was big because that was my third game back from my elbow injury, and we lost the two before that. And so kind of having a big game, Duke at home, and to kind of pull out that win and get the steal, I was threw the ball up and was just flexing.
We've talked about this before, dude. One of my favorite Pat Wessler moments of all time. Like, that guy literally looked like Herman Munster. He comes over, he's all excited, and Pat's like, yes, yes, yes. It was so fun. You got to go back. You got to watch it. So next question from Caleb, how many shots/makes do you aim to put up daily?
Is this like practice?
I didn't write the question.
So it changes throughout the whole kind of year and year to year. Obviously, off season, I have the whole, we lift at 6 a.m. I get a workout in after that on the court. And then I'll work out again at 12:30 later in the day. For shots, it's not like I'm like, all right, I'm shooting this amount of shots and that's it. Because there's so much different stuff we work on, and we kind of go for makes more than shots. So it can kind of, it fluctuates every single time. But I have different workout routines now that we're kind of, once you get mid-season and kind of later in the season, you kind of you get a little bit more treatment time. You kind of I'll work out before practice. I'll get shots up before and then shots up after. But it kind of just changes week to week depending on the schedule. But I kind of try to stay a consistent routine to kind of make sure my skills and everything and my touch and everything is still kind of on point.
Shelton Moss, favorite. We already did this at the Slam Jam, but it's always good to get the Coach Young refreshers. I'm sure, you know, every month there's a new Coach Young ism that comes out. But what is your favorite Mike Young expression or quote right now?
Can I just answer first?
Well, I mean, I'm going to.
He did
hold drinks waiting last night on the presser.
I'm going to. Wait, get the shirts. Coach Young, like, nobody slaps more male butts than Coach Young. Like, that guy, it loves a good butt slap, dude. He really does. He kissed you the other day.
He kissed you.
I saw it.
It threw me off guard, but it's all love between me and him. So whenever you win and the emotions and kind of the relationship we have. But yeah, he does love a good. My favorite is when he subs people, and I'm sure you hear it. He screams the name. Like, it'll be dead silent in Castle, and he's just full on name. Get him out. So it's that's my favorite when just going down the line. But there's so many throughout the years. He has all – I'm sure you guys have heard him, the sayings he has where it's just so random and you kind of look around and you don't have no idea what it means. You've seen the whole – in the locker room where he pulls up his pants. my favorite, and it's probably not a good thing, I'll say my top favorite thing that he does is when we lose a game. You can tell he's trying to be super professional in the locker room. You don't want to say – you still have raw emotions from the game. You don't want to say anything – out of character just because you have emotions from the loss. So you can tell he's in there and he's like trying to break it down. He's like, all right, like we should have done this and that. And then you'll see something like a light bulb clicks in his head, something that reminds him from the game of why we lost. And that's when he just starts going off on everyone. Like that one little thought of like, and he'll be like, yeah, and we turned it over there. And then that's when it clicks. And then so he just starts going off and it's just, it's not funny, but it is funny looking back.
So if you were to just make yourself the culprit, because we're not going to put anyone else on the spot. So give me like the tonality of the sentence. So he'll be like, give me how he's talking and then when he elevates. But you can make yourself be the person receiving the blame.
Okay, so he'll be like, I thought we played hard. You guys really tried to do the right thing out there. You try to stick to the game plan. You know, we were up 4 with about 3 minutes left. Hunter had a shot on the wing and traveled. And then that's when he just, as soon as he thinks about that, and then he just starts rambling. He's like, we can't guard anyone, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, he tries to keep it calm, but then he snaps out of it. So that's funny.
there's one more, Kenny.
Yeah. So Kenny Kitten, and you've already kind of alluded to some of this as well here, Hunter, but what has Mike Young meant to you as a coach and as an individual over your 5 years?
Oh, he's meant a lot, more than I could ever imagined a basketball coach can have an impact on my life. Just from wanting my best interests in whatever was going on in my life, especially last year, I'm sure the story about my dad and everything kind of he battled through. He was just always there for me doing that. There was a lot of times where I went up to his office and I was just talking and we were just crying up there together. And he was always just there listening. He didn't even have to say anything. I just needed someone to kind of to hear me out or just to cry to. So he was always just there for me on the basketball side as a player, as a person. And then also just knowing that he knows that I wanted to get into coaching and for accepting me kind of in that. And letting me in coaching meetings and kind of putting me in things that he really didn't have to do. Like you at most of the times, like he would call me up to watch film and things like that. And he didn't have to do that, but he knows how much the love I have for the game of basketball and how much I want to learn it and grow my knowledge of the game. So he's always included me and stuff like that. So anytime you have someone that kind of has that relationship with and has that trust in you from day one, it's a pretty special relationship.
Last question from Ed. Assuming that Coach Young is invited to the wedding, which Virginia Tech basketball coach do you think would win in a dance battle at your wedding?
I don't think I've ever seen any of them dance, if I'm being completely honest. Coach Young, you always see the awkward videos of after like a big win, you'll see a coach in the locker room doing random dance moves. I don't know if he's ever done that.
No.
He just does the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He always does that. So that's it. I don't think I've ever seen any of our coaches dance, which is, I'm going to say, if every win from now on, I want to see a dance move in the locker room. That's going to be my last hurrah that I ask for before I leave.
You know what this is like, this moment right now? It's like when you're watching a show on cable and you look at the TV and you're like, dude, I hope this episode doesn't ever end. And it's like 9:59 and you're like, I know this episode is going to end in 1 minute. And
it's a bummer.
I don't want it to end. Hunter Couture, do you have any questions for us?
Sure. Let me think of some. What is new in for Sons of Saturday? What are they trying to grow next?
I mean, should we break this news right now?
Go ahead.
Sons of Saturday is launching a beer. We're not going to tell you where it is. It's going to be called Saturday Shandy, and it's going to rock. It's going to be awesome. So I guess that's number one. We've brought on some incredible interns who have done incredible work. Taylor Bridal. We started working with Chase Wingfield, takes great picks. So if you're somebody that's interested in working in marketing or working in writing articles, or you say, hey, Sons of Saturday, you guys suck at this, I can come fix it and we can find some mutual symbiotic relationship, come on down, make it happen. Hunter Couture, you're like 100 years old. We just started using Facebook, so I assume that's in your wheelhouse. So if you can give us some tips on Facebook or MySpace, for more power to you, dude. Come on down. So
I think
Spring Jam's happen in April 12th.
My birthday.
The day after Billy Ray's birthday. It'll be an epic celebration of Billy Ray on April 12th at McLean's, as we've done the last 2 years. And then
Vanderbilt.
Nashville, yeah. If you're a Hokie fan, going to the big game in Nashville, Labor Day weekend. We got the hotels. We got the tailgate. We got the tickets. We're about to book a Friday night welcome party on Broadway, too. So if you're listening and you don't know about that, go to our Instagram bio. I think there's a link to sign up for the email list there. So I guess that's the high level of what's going on, Hunter. Appreciate the question.
Great awesome. Question. Yeah, sure.
Let's let this guy get to bed. Also, your watch is still tracking a walk, so you might want to wrap that up. It's like a 7.5-hour walk.
Okay.
Anyway, Hunter Couture, we'll absolutely do this again. Thank you for your professionalism. Looking forward to whatever surprises you may be throwing our way in Hunter Couture After Dark in Washington, D.C. If you all are there, go out, support the Hoax. I talked kind of crazy to a UVA person on the lift today without meaning to do so. But c'est la vie. That's what we do. So Hunter Couture, we love you. We're proud of you and excited to watch you play some more ball.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Time to wander, tripping in the sand. We smoke out windows, drink till we can't stand. But I saw you dance like you want to in my head. And all that she said is, oh, I know just what you're thinking. Please don't go, just let it sink in. Trash my friend's place, wake up the next day. Take a hit, it started.